under a large tree in the country, Alice was sitting, looking at a very dull book her history teacher had given her to read, and thinking...
What good is a book without pictures?
She could only turn the pages over and over again, hoping to be surprised by a painting of a queen, or a tea party, or a croquet game, or anything of value. But there was not so much as a colored map. She closed the book with a feeling of disappointment, not being particularly happy. When quite suddenly... a very large white rabbit with pink eyes ran right by the tree. Now, in the country, if you're sitting on the grass as quietly as Alice was, it's not really unusual to see a rabbit go jumping by. But this particular rabbit was wearing a small red velvet jacket and a huge yellow bow tie, and while running along, it took a gold watch from out of its pocket.
I'm gonna be late. I just absolutely know I'm gonna be late. Oh, dear. Just, oh, dear.
Late for what? Where are you going? Don't run away!
The rabbit didn't answer. Not that Alice expected it to, because it was one thing for a rabbit to talk, and quite another to think it might answer a question. So she dropped her book and ran after it. It was not easy running either, since rabbits are very good at being quick. She ran across an open field and around an old stone wall just in time to see it jump into the biggest rabbit hole she had ever seen in her life.
Oh, later, later.
In another moment, never thinking how in the world she was going to get out again, Alice jumped in after it. But instead of landing on her feet, she found herself falling through the air, just as if she were in a deep well.
How terribly curious. Either this is a very deep well, or else I'm falling terribly slowly. And how can you fall slowly?
Driving to downtown today, about a midnight hour, and it all melts the bubble in my mind. I got caught in a colored shower. Those lights were titter twinkling on sunset. I saw a sign in the sky. I said to tip tip to trip to trip. I trip trip. I couldn't keep up if I tried. We stopped at a reality company to get some instant sleep. And the driver turned and said, "Welcome back." Smiled and he said, "Beep beep." What goes on? Cheek, cheek, what goes on? I really wanna know what goes on all around me. What goes on? I really wanna know.
At first, she tried to look down to see what was underneath her, but it all seemed too far away. And then she looked at the sides of the well, which were filled with cupboards and bookshelves. Here and there, she saw pictures and maps hung on pegs. She was falling so slowly that she had time to take a jar of orange marmalade from one of the shelves, taste it, and put it back on another shelf further down.
I wonder how many miles I've fallen by this time. I must be getting somewhere near the center of the earth. And what will happen if I fall right through the earth? How peculiar it will be to come out where people walk upside down. And my poor cat Dinah will miss me so. There'll be no one to give her milk at tea time. Oh, Dinah, I wish you were here. There are no mice in the air, I suppose. But you might catch a bat. And bats are very like mice. But can cats eat bats? I mean, if a cat wanted to, why shouldn't it? Oh, dear, I'm thinking the silliest things.
Alice began to get sleepy. And in a dreamy way, she went on asking herself, if cats ate bats, and bats ate cats, until she quite suddenly landed on a great mound of dry leaves. And the fall was over. The mound of leaves was at the end of a long marble hall lit with candles and chandeliers, and in the distance, she could still see the rabbit running along, looking at his watch.
Oh, my ears and whiskers, look how late it's getting.
Now now where is the office?
It's getting later and later.
Well, I suppose there's only one way to find out.
She brushed herself off, just as if she'd never fallen down the long well at all. She ran down the hall after the peculiar rabbit. She was right behind it, so close she could almost reach out and touch its round furry tail when it turned a corner and simply wasn't there.
Now that's just too curious for words. If it turned the corner, it ought to be on the other side. And there's nothing here but a room. And no pictures or doors. Really, what good is a room without pictures or doors?
You're lost, little girl. You're lost, little girl. You're lost, tell me who are you? That you know what to do. Impossible, yes, but it's true. I think that you know what to do.
But there was a little three-legged table in the room, completely made of glass, and on the tabletop was a tiny golden key and a bottle that looked like pineapple juice, which said, "Drink me."
Well, I suppose if it says to drink it, I ought to, since it's not marked poison, and there's nothing else to do anyway. Of course, if it were marked poison, it would disagree with me sooner or later, and... Oh, it wouldn't be such a good idea to... Oh, what a curious feeling! I must be squeezing together like a telescope!
It was not exactly like a telescope, but Alice was shrinking. And she kept right on shrinking until she was only 10 inches high. It was then that she noticed a curtain hanging over part of the wall that she could never have seen when she was her normal size. And when she pulled it back, there was a door that looked perfect for 10-inch-high people.
Oh, but it's locked. And I'll bet that golden key on the table would have opened it. But now I can never get back up on the table since the legs are slippery and made of glass, and I'm so small now. Oh, why did I have to chase that silly white rabbit in the first place?
It certainly was an upsetting situation. For just by looking up, Alice could plainly see the key through the glass, but there was no way to reach it. She was almost ready to stop crying when she saw a piece of chocolate cake on a dish next to the tiny door, and printed on top of the cake in candy icing were the words, "Eat me up."
Well, I suppose I should eat it. If it makes me larger, I can reach the key. And if it makes me smaller, I can creep under the door. And either way, I'll get to the other side.
She ate a little bit, keeping her hand on top of her head to feel which way it was growing. But nothing happened. Until she had finished the whole cake, and then she zoomed up taller than she'd ever been. This time it was like a telescope. Her head bumped against the ceiling, and her shoulders pushed against the walls.
I know you can see me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put things in my way, well here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too, you're gonna lose that smile because of the
see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles.
She picked up the little key in her fingertips. But when she lay down and tried to fit it in the door, she realized she would never get through. Why, even one of her eyes was bigger than the whole door. So she began to cry again, great, huge tears that made splashing sounds as they struck the floor.
Glancing, dancing, see the water flow. Oh, wizard of changes, water, water, water. Dark or silvery, mother of life. Water, water, holy mystery, heaven's daughter. Wizard of changes, teach me the lesson of flowing. God made a song when the world was new. Water's laughter sings it true. Oh, wizard of changes, teach me the lesson of flowing.
Everything is so curious. I'm sure it wasn't like this yesterday. I wonder if I've been changed in the night. And if I've been changed, who have I become? Who was I to begin with?
As she talked, Alice noticed that she'd been putting on one of the rabbit's gloves, something she could never have managed unless she were growing smaller again. She shrank and shrank until she was less than 2 feet high, and she was almost down to nothing at all when she realized it must have been the glove that was doing it. So she pulled it off, stopped shrinking, and suddenly found herself splashing up to her chin in salt water.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath, long about a Saturday night. Yeah. Rubbed up, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was all right. Well, I stepped out the tub and put my feet on the floor. I wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door. And in a splish splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on? There was a splishing and a splash, and reeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, rocking and a rolling. Yeah, yeah!
Oh, I'm glad I can swim. And all this water must be the tears I cried when I was 10 feet high. I should be careful of never doing that again. And what's that swimming toward me? It must be a hippopotamus. I know. It's only a mouse. Oh, how I wish it were Dynamite Cat.
Ah! Cats, don't ever say that word.
Oh, well, I beg your pardon. I've forgotten that mice don't like cats.
Not like cats. Would you like cats if you were me?
Well, probably not, but you don't have to get all angry about it. I'm sure if you knew Dinah, you'd feel differently. She's so nice to me when she sits by the fire and purrs. And she's just wonderful at catching mice.
Ah!
But I didn't mean you. Please don't go away. Who will I talk to? Things are getting curiouser and curiouser.
Things were so strange that Alice had nearly forgotten how to speak English. So she swam for the shore, which had somehow got itself located on the other side of the little door. The sun was shining and there were fields and flowers everywhere. but since even the blades of grass were taller than she was, Alice decided the next thing to do was to get taller again. She looked all around to see if there were anything that seemed right for eating or drinking, under the circumstances. There was nothing, really, but a grand mushroom, fat and white, about the same height as she was. And when she'd looked under it, and on either side of it, it occurred to her she might as well look and see what was on top of it. She stretched up on her tiptoes, and quite unexpectedly, her eyes met those of a large blue caterpillar. Was sitting quietly on top of the mushroom, with his arms folded, very peacefully, smoking a water pipe, and not taking notice of anything in particular.
Who are you?
I hardly know, sir, just at the moment, anyway. I mean, I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I've been changed all around.
Nothing wrong with being changed all around. I'm being changed around all the time. First a cocoon, then a butterfly.
Well, that's all very well for caterpillars, but not for me.
What a silly thing to say. Explain yourself.
I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir, because I'm not myself. At least not while I'm this dreadful 3 inches high.
3 inches is a splendid height. I, for instance, am 3 inches high.
But I'm not used to it. Oh, I wish you creatures wouldn't get offended so easily.
You'll get used to it in time. In any event, one size will make you taller.
One day you'll wake with wings. My cousin has great changes coming. One day he'll wake with wings. Do-da, 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 do-da.
And with that, the caterpillar took a puff of his water pipe and disappeared. Alice looked at the mushroom, and since it was perfectly round, she had no idea what two sides meant. So she stretched her arms around it as far as they would go and broke off a bit with each hand. When she tried the bit in her left hand, she shot up through the trees, knocking down branches and poking her head through the puffy white clouds. She would have knocked right against the blue sky if she didn't think quickly and take a nibble from a bit in her right hand. The next thing she knew, she was exactly the same height she had been in the morning, except for one peculiar thing. There was a cat sitting on the bough of a sycamore a few yards away. A peculiar cat. A Cheshire cat, in fact, which was nothing at all like Dinah. The Cheshire cat was grinning curiously.
Cheshire Puss, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?
That depends a good deal on where you want to go.
Oh, I don't really much care where.
Then it doesn't matter which way you go.
But I want to go somewhere.
Oh, you're sure to do that, if you walk long enough.
But aren't there any people who live around here?
In that direction, there's a hatter. And in that direction, there's a March Hare.
Hmm?
Visit either you like. They're both mad.
But I don't want to visit mad people.
Oh, you can't help that. We're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad.
What a dreadful thing to say. How do you know I'm mad?
You must be. Or you wouldn't have come here, would you?
All the while the Cheshire Cat was talking, part of him was disappearing and reappearing. First his head, then his tail, then everything but his smile.
And it's very difficult to keep talking to you when part of you is missing the whole time. You know, I've seen cats without smiles before, but I've never seen a smile without a cat.
That's hardly surprising.
The Cheshire Cat disappeared altogether. And Alice had no choice but to keep right on walking until she came to the house of the March Hare. She thought it must be right, because the chimneys were shaped like ears, and the roof was thatched with fur. It was so large a house that she didn't go nearer until she'd carefully nibbled some of the left-hand bit of mushroom and grown about 2 more feet. There was a table set out under a tree in front of the house, and the March Hare and the Hatter were having tea at it.
Have another cup, Hatter. Well, thank you.
A dormouse, which is really a sort of squirrel, was sitting between them, and the other two were resting elbows on its head, talking around its nose.
Thank you, yes, or thank you, no.
Whichever you like.
Very uncomfortable for the poor dormouse. Only since it's asleep, perhaps it doesn't mind. Hello, may I join you?
No room.
Why, there's plenty of room. Just because all three of you are crowded down at one end of this big table.
Your hair is too long.
Have some wine, then.
I'm too little to drink wine. And besides, I don't see any.
There isn't any.
Then it wasn't very polite of you to offer it or to make personal remarks.
It wasn't very polite of you to come without being invited.
Well, I didn't know it was your table. It's laid out for more than three.
As long as you're here, why is a raven like a writing desk?
Oh, good. Riddles. I'm good at guessing answers.
You mean you think you can find out the answer to it?
I think so.
Then you should say what you mean.
I do. At least I mean what I say. It's the same thing.
Not the same thing a bit. You might as well say, I like what I get is the same thing as I get what I like.
You might just as well say, all mice are creatures is the same thing as all creatures are mice.
Through all of this conversation, the dormouse seemed to be asleep. But it spoke just the same.
You might just as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same thing as I sleep when I breathe.
It is the same with you. Anyway, have you guessed the riddle yet?
No, you have me all confused. I give up. What's the answer?
I haven't got the slightest idea.
Neither do I.
I think you two could do something better with the time than waste it asking riddles with no answers.
If you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. He's a very fine gentleman and should be referred to as him. You've probably never even spoken to time.
Well, perhaps not, but I keep time with my foot when I play the piano.
Ha! That explains it. He won't stand for being kept under someone's foot. How would you like it?
That's the trouble here. It was just last March, before the hare went mad, that I was singing my favorite song at a concert given by the Queen of Hearts.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Wish I may, wish I might, make this wish come true tonight. Search all over for a love, you're the one I'm thinking of. Oh, 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 oh,
I wonder where you are. High above the clouds somewhere, send me down a lovely ship. Oh, 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 oh.
Jumped up and said, "He's murdering the time! Off with his head!"
The time ain't tall. If on time you depend, and no word is possessed by no special friend. And though the line is cut, it ain't quite the end. I just bid farewell till we meet again. Oh, a false clock tries to tick out my time, to disgrace, distract, and bother me. And the dirt of gossip blows into my face, and the dust of rumors covers me. But if the arrow is straight and the point is slick, it can pierce through dust no matter how thick. So I'll make my stand and remain as I am, and bid farewell and not give a damn.
Ever since that, time won't do a thing I ask him. It's always 6 o'clock now.
Is that why it's always tea time here?
Yes, and we've no time to wash dishes between whiles. All we can do is wake up the Dormouse and have him tell us a story.
Wake up the Dormouse, tell us a story.
Once upon a time, there were three sisters, and they lived at the bottom of a well.
What did they live on? You see, I'm always interested in questions of eating and drinking.
They lived on molasses.
Oh, they couldn't have done that, you know. They'd have been ill.
So they were very ill.
But why did they live at the bottom of the well?
Have some more tea.
I've had nothing at all yet, so I can't have more.
You mean you can't have less? It's very easy to take more than nothing.
No one asked your opinion.
Ah? Who's making personal remarks now?
Oh, dear. And I still don't know what they were doing at the bottom of the well.
Learning to draw.
Draw what?
Things beginning with an M, such as mousetraps and the moon.
But why beginning with an M?
Why not?
Well, really, now that you ask.
Then you shouldn't talk.
Well!
The party was becoming so impolite that Alice just got up in a great huff and walked off. The Dormouse fell asleep again instantly, and neither the March Hare nor the Mad Hatter took any notice of her going.
Have another cup, Hatter.
Even though she looked back once or twice, hoping they would call after her. The last time she saw them, they were trying to put the Dormouse into the teapot.
You'll never catch me going there again. It's the silliest party I was ever at in all my life.
Just as she said this, she noticed that one of the trees had a door leading right into it. And having no place more interesting to go, she opened it and went in. Strangely enough, there was a croquet ground on the other side, in a beautiful garden among bright flower beds and sprinkling fountains. A large rose tree stood near the entrance of the garden, and there were three playing cards, with heads and arms and legs, painting the white roses red.
Getting curiouser. Why, one of them is the Four of Clubs, and the other is the Five of Hearts, and the third is the Six of Spades. Pardon me, why are you painting those roses?
Well, the fact is, miss, this here ought to have been a red rose tree, and we planted a white one by mistake. And if the queen found out about it, she'd have all our heads cut off. So you see, we're doing our best.
Eight, five, six! It's the queen! It's the queen!
The queen!
The queen!
The three gardeners threw themselves flat up on the ground, spilling their red paint all over the grass. And Alice turned around quickly to see the coming parade. They were all playing cards, exactly like the gardeners, with their hands and feet at the corners. There were 10 soldiers, all clubs, and 10 courtiers, all diamonds, walking two by two. After that came the 10 royal children, all hearts, and the spades, strolling casually, carrying musical instruments.
I remember those long
Next came the guests, most of them kings and queens. And among them, Alice recognized the white rabbit. It was talking in a hurried, nervous way, smiling at everything that was said, and went by without even noticing her. Then followed the Jack of Hearts carrying the king's crown on a crimson velvet cushion. And last of all came the king and queen of hearts.
But they're only just a pack of cards. I wonder why people are afraid of them. Dear, the queen is coming in my direction.
And who are you, child?
My name is Alice, Your Majesty.
And who are these three creatures lying down? And what have they been doing to that rose tree?
Please, Your Majesty, we were only to...
I see perfectly well what you are trying to do. Off with their heads.
Oh!
The procession moved on over the croquet ground as three of the soldiers came back to cut off the gardener's heads. But Alice had stacked them neatly, one on top of the other, and sat down on them, as if she were on a picnic blanket. The soldiers looked round for a minute or two, then gave up and went back to where the game was beginning. After a moment, Alice followed them.
Are their heads gone?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Good. And can you play croquet?
I think so.
You'd better, if you want to keep your head. Let's begin then.
At the Queen's command, people began running around in all directions, tumbling over one another. When they got settled down, the game began, and Alice had never seen anything quite so extraordinary. The balls were live hedgehogs, the mallets were live flamingos, and the soldiers had to double themselves up and stand upon their hands and feet to make the arches. Alice absolutely could not manage her flamingo, because whenever she had its long neck straightened out and was going to use its head to tap the hedgehog, it would twist itself around, look at her face, and kiss her on the nose. Just then she noticed a peculiar appearance in the air, which turned out to be a grin, and she realized it was the Cheshire Cat again.
How do you like the Queen?
Not at all. She's really been...
Who are you talking to?
It's a friend of mine, Your Majesty, a Cheshire Cat. Perhaps you and the King would like to be introduced.
I don't like the looks of it at all. However, it may kiss my hand, if it likes.
I'd rather not, thanks.
Don't be impertinent, and stop smiling at me like that.
King said to stop smiling. Well, off with his head.
Yes, off with his head. Executioner, do your work.
Begging your Majesty's pardon, you can't cut off a head unless there's a body to cut it off from.
Nonsense. Anything with a head can be beheaded.
And if something isn't done soon, I'll have everybody's head off.
Oh, dear.
Now the last words that poor John the Baptist said, da 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 da, said the last words that John the Baptist said, ba da da ba dee 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 da. Yes, the last words that John the Baptist said just before he lost his head. Gives me the separation blues.
While the executioner sharpened up his huge axe, the Cheshire Cat just smiled and disappeared entirely.
Where's it gone?
Gone.
Come back and have your head cut off.
Cut off.
That's an order.
Order. Well, seeing that cat's gone...
And you, Miss Alice, caused all this trouble...
And ruined our day...
We'll just have to have your head cut off.
Why, what an awful thing to say.
To say... And that white rabbit.
Yes, since he started the whole thing. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
At this, all the cards changed to normal size and spun around in the sky. Alice and the rabbit ran for their lives, never looking behind them. They ran over the croquet garden, through the door in the tree, past the Mad Hatter's tea party, where the Dormouse was climbing wet out of the teapot. Past the caterpillar smoking his pipe on the mushroom, past the mouse swimming in Alice's tears, past the glass table with the little golden key on it, down the corridor with candles and chandeliers, and straight up the well, where they were carried along by a warm wind from underneath. While running, the rabbit had taken out its watch.
I'm late. Oh, dear, I'm late again.
And Alice had once more tried to catch it to ask the meaning of everything that had happened. By the time she was out of the rabbit hole and under the tree where she first had seen the strange creature, she was so tired from running that she could only lie down to catch her breath. She fell asleep nearly at once. And when she awoke, the sun was still shining, and her history book was in her hands. She rubbed her eyes, stretched her arms, and yawned.
Well, perhaps tomorrow I'll read my history. Although, I still don't know the use of a book without pictures.
And she skipped along home, where by now her lunch was probably ready. And if anyone asked her a riddle, they would surely know the answer first.